everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Cole Gross. I'm studying forest soils at the University of Washington, and this study is on the effects of nitrogen fertilization and thinning treatments on subsurface soil carbon and nitrogen. So, first of all, what is subsurface soil or subsoil? Well, in this study, it's defined as soil below 20 centimeters. And the reason that 20 centimeters was chosen is because many researchers and many articles out there do not have soil sampled below 20 centimeters. And this really underestimates our soil carbon and our soil nitrogen in soils. Globally, we have about 74% of soil carbon below 20 centimeters to a depth of 3 meters. And the same is true for nitrogen. The majority of nitrogen in soils is below 20 centimeters. So now the question is, why, if the majority of our soil carbon and nitrogen is below 20 centimeters in soils and is usually biologically available, why do we not have more studies that sample soil deeper, that sample subsoil? Well, first and foremost, digging is very hard work. This is one of the most, there are many reasons, but this is the one of the most obvious reasons why it doesn't happen. It's labor intensive, takes a lot of time. It can take up to 12 hours just to dig one pit down to a meter and a half by hand, or, well, with a shovel. Don't do it by hand. That'll take longer. Also, the field conditions are not ideal. Sometimes it's pouring down rain or snowing, which isn't as bad in certain field circumstances, but when you're digging a huge hole, it makes it very difficult to work and collect your samples. So the purpose of this study is to provide data for regional responses of soil carbon and nitrogen by depth to fertilization and thinning treatments. And so we'll have an emphasis on subsoil or deeper soil so we can kind of draw that comparison between the surface soil. So my site is a Douglas fir plantation in northern Oregon, southeast of Portland. It was established in 1989, and at that time, they created 15 plots, and they're each 2-hectare plots with 9.3-meter buffer strips, and the treatments were assigned randomly to those 15 plots, and I studied 9 of them. So I have minimal thinning plots, I have repeated thinning plots, then I have nitrogen fertilization plots that also, 2 of those overlapped with, was in combination with the thinning treatment. And then I have 3 control plots. And so I sampled, I dug 3 pits per plot down to a meter or a meter and a half and sampled by depth interval. So results. Across all plots, the majority of soil carbon and nitrogen is found in the subsoil. So this is looking at all of the plots, and we can see that it's fairly similar to what we saw globally. We're below 20 centimeters to a depth of 1.5 meters. We have 57% of our carbon and 62% of our nitrogen, and that is what we would have expected to have more in the subsoil. There is a general trend of decreased soil carbon and nitrogen with thinning and fertilization treatments as compared to the control group. So this is looking at each of the different treatments. So from left to right, we have minimal thinning with fertilization, repeat thinning, minimal thinning, fertilization, repeat thinning with fertilization, and then our control group. And we can see a pretty clear trend of decreased carbon with the treatments. Same holds true for nitrogen. Again, we see that clear trend of decreased soil nitrogen with treatments. As a group, thinning treatments significantly reduced mineral soil carbon and nitrogen compared to the control group to a depth of 50 centimeters. So here we're looking at the mean total soil carbon by plot. So we have each of the plots down there. And what I've done is I've combined them into groups. So we have a thinning group, and we have a fertilization group, and we have a control group. So here they are with the mean total soil carbon. And I ran a simple regression, and depth was the predictor variable, the only predictor variable, and it explained 54% of the variation between those three groups. So then what I did is I ran t-tests comparing each depth interval so that we could get rid of kind of depth as a variable, which may have been masking any treatment effects on soil carbon. And so I have thinning versus control, thinning versus fertilization, and fertilization versus control. And so for the thinning versus control, the thinning group actually gained soil carbon significantly in the O horizon, but then lost soil carbon significantly compared to the control down to 50 centimeters. And I should say that when I'm saying significantly, the alpha is 0.1 that I'm using. And so for the thinning versus fertilization, again, compared to the fertilization, the thinning significantly lost carbon in the 0 to 10 centimeter interval and the 20 to 50 interval. As for fertilization versus control, similar to the thinning, fertilization did gain a significant amount of carbon in the O horizon compared to the control group, but then lost a significant amount of soil carbon in the mineral soil down to 20 centimeters and then at the 100 to 150 centimeter depth. So one of the things to kind of note here is that we had a gain of soil carbon in both the thinning group and the fertilization group in comparison to the control in the O horizon, but that did not translate into an increase in soil carbon in the mineral soil. I performed the same analysis on soil nitrogen, and this time both depth and treatment were predictor variables, and they explained 73% of the variation. And so then I ran t-tests between each of those groups, and the thinning group had significantly less soil nitrogen than the control group, and that was about a 30% reduction. Again, I analyzed each depth layer separately, and just focusing on the thinning versus control group, we can see we have that same exact significant loss from in the mineral soil down to 50 centimeters. And a key thing to note is that for both losses of nitrogen and carbon in the thinning group as compared to the control down to 50 centimeters, the majority was lost between 20 and 50 centimeters, so in the subsoil. So some takeaway points. We really need to be digging deeper. We need more researchers digging deeper, getting us a larger data set so that we really have substantial data that's there to say how soils might change under different conditions and different management. After less than 30 years, the thinning group lost significant amounts of soil carbon and nitrogen compared to the control group, and the majority of that loss occurred in the subsoil. This tells us that even in a relatively short period of time, different management techniques can significantly affect soil carbon and nitrogen, not just in the surface, but in the subsoil as well. And that's where the majority of our biologically available nitrogen and the majority of our carbon is located. I will also be doing further on looking at the effect of treatment on productivity and also the long-term productivity and sustainability in light of soil fertility and what's going on in that field. And so looking at the Douglas fir plantation and how much productivity they got, if they saw increases with that, with the treatment, even though we're losing that soil carbon and nitrogen, and then kind of doing a mini life cycle analysis to see what that means for long-term productivity and sustainability based on the soil fertility. So thank you for being here today. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my research in front of you. Yes?
I'm probably got a dumb question.
Sure not. Yes, so the thinning is, the question is the thinning of the trees the removal of the trees? Yes, it is.
And do you think that the loss of nitrogen and carbon in the subsoil was because the roots weren't there because the trees had been pulled? Do you think the roots are being part of that?
I mean, that could be with carbon because of root exudates, that having lost those extra root exudates into the soil, that would make a lot of sense there. I'm not necessarily sure that would play the same for nitrogen, because I would think they wouldn't be using as much the roots. It would kind of be the opposite effect, maybe, because the roots wouldn't be there to use nitrogen. Yes.
What type of increase in the world applies to cellulose? I mean, are any residues were harvested or retained?
Can you say that one? Oh, they did harvest it. Yeah, sorry. The question is if they harvested the site, if that was one that they're going to harvest. Oh, what type of thinning treatment? Oh, they went in and they reduced the initial stems per acre down to a certain amount. So they did that once with the minimal thinning and two or three times with the repeat thinning. And I believe it was a 30 or 50 amount of density. It's kind of a complicated. I'm not in silviculture. I do have to learn it for when I go into the next part of looking at productivity. But yeah, it was how many times they went out and by what density did they reduce it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.